and welcome to those of you who are watching us via Facebook live stream. It's a great, beautiful Saturday morning. It's going to be a scorcher, though. The parashas for this Shabbat are Matot and Maaseh, meaning tribes and journeys. And this brings us to the end of Bamidbar, the book of Numbers. Chapter 30 discusses the importance of vows. If someone swears an oath, makes a promise, they're obligated to make good on it. But this passage contains provision by which a father or a husband could nullify an impulsive vow taken by a daughter or a wife. But if the husband or father doesn't intervene, the vow stands. In each instance where a woman is excused from her vow or promise, it says, and the Lord will forgive her. Failure to fulfill a vow or promise is sin. Now, people today don't attach a whole lot of importance to their promises, but in the ancient world, an oath was regarded with the utmost seriousness. Husbands and fathers were expected to have the wisdom, the maturity, the years to protect their wives or daughters from the consequences of a vow made rashly. Ponder the tragedy then of Yiftach, Jephthah, who made a terrible, reckless vow which eventually cost the life of his daughter. Messiah Yeshua said we shouldn't swear oaths at all. Firstly, we are prone to fail. And when we break a vow, we dishonor God. And the world is scrutinizing us. Second, as Yeshua's followers, we are called to a higher standard. We, of all people, should have a reputation as those whose word is good. So, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. God is truth. His people must be people of truth and of integrity, especially in weightier matters like testifying in a court of law or upholding our marriage vows. Now, chapter 31 is a very difficult passage. God commands Israel to exact his vengeance, is what he calls it, on the Midianites. They were to be annihilated and their cities burned. Now, the reason was because the Midianites conspired with Moab to seduce Israel by sending out their beautiful young women to invite our men to sacrifice to Baal. The sacrificial ceremonies of Baal were highly sexual in nature and barbaric. Because Israel participated in such immorality, 24,000 of our people died by a divine plague. So, you know, it's not exactly as though God let Israel off the hook. But the Midianites were condemned for their part in this catastrophe. In the battle against Midian, Balaam the seer, Bilam, was also put to death. You may recall that it was Balaam who advised the Midianites to entice the Israeli men to join in their pagan sacrifices and thus bring God's curse upon themselves. For that, Balaam is memorialized for all time in disgrace. Woe to those who place the stumbling blocks. In chapter 32, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh asked Moses if they might be allowed to settle the land east of the Jordan, outside the land. Their apparent reluctance to cross over and accompany their brothers in fighting the Canaanites angered Moses, but an agreement was reached. Their wives, their young children, their livestock could remain there, but the men would have to accompany the other tribes to wage war inside Canaan. Only after the land was conquered and secured would they be permitted to return. This is perhaps a good reminder that God's people living outside the land of Israel still have an obligation to seek its welfare. In chapter 33, God commands Moses to record for posterity's sake all the stages of Israel's journey. Again, Masseh, journeys. An important historical journey like this should never be forgotten or obscured on account of the passage of time. You know, if you've ever taken a really wonderful or important trip, don't you like to look back and remember the places you stopped, the people you met? Chapter 33 also records Aaron's death. In fact, it is recorded down to the year, month, and day. Verse 38 says, it was the 40th year of our wilderness journey on the first day of the fifth month. That means Aaron died on the first of Av, 1406 BC, at 123 years of age. Actually, the day of his death, Av is coming up next week. For how many individuals in the Bible do we have that precise a date? And why Aaron? Perhaps because he was noteworthy as Israel's very first high priest. Perhaps also for the sake of future record keeping of the years of tenure for future high priests. Perhaps in the big picture, it's because all of Scripture points us to our heavenly high priest, Messiah Yeshua, whose death meant life for the world. At the end of chapter 33, on the plains of Moab, which basically was the threshold of the land of promise, God directed Israel to completely drive out the Canaanites and to destroy all their idols and altars. Adonai warned that if we didn't follow through on this, it was going to mean big trouble down the road. And of course, that's exactly what happened. Chapters 34 and 35 include Israel's boundaries and a land allotment by tribe and the command to establish Levitical cities and cities of refuge. This was really important. The cities of refuge were a place to which a man might flee if he accidentally killed another. There's an obvious distinction between manslaughter and premeditated murder. These cities of refuge were crucial because blood feuds were very common in the ancient Middle East, but that was not to be part of Israeli life. We were not to take matters into our own hands. God's justice was always to prevail. So these cities of refuge were crucial. Our Torah portions end with an admonition that daughters must not be cheated of their inheritance if there was no son born to the family. They were to be guaranteed the preservation of their family's estate. But in such cases, daughters were required to marry within their tribe, lest we end up with inter-tribal hostility over land disputes. After all, the allocation of land was at God's discretion and God's direction. It was never ours to sell or buy in any permanent way. A person might go into debt and have to sell their family property into consignment for a period of time, but at the Jubilee year, all properties were to revert to their original families. Masseh, as I said, means journeys. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that the end of the journey marks the end of responsibility. You know, sometimes it's just the beginning of greater responsibilities. But as in the case of Israel's journeys and their entrance into the land of promise, that's where the real work began. The pursuit of justice, faithfulness, integrity. So the next time you find yourself at a transition point in your life, perhaps a move to a new place or a career change, maybe retiring, entering a new stage in life, remember that your conduct is on open display. His eyes are on us and so are theirs. Do your work diligently. Be intentional about things. There's a saying, the man who rolls up his sleeves seldom loses his shirt. So keep at whatever it is that God has you doing and do it with excellence. Amen.